If you don't ask the right questions as a business analyst, you are making a huge mistake that could cost your project, lead to bad requirements, stakeholders not trusting you, and so many headaches down the line. Today, I'm sharing with you some ideas on how to ask the right questions as a business analyst, particularly when we're going through that requirements elicitation phase. And I believe that by asking the right questions and being able to ask the right questions, you will actually then be able to elicit the right requirements from your users, but the requirements that will actually deliver the intended outcome when they are delivered. Welcome to Inside Business Analysis. I'm Tanner Jacobs. This is the place to be where we talk about all things business analysis, working in tech, and career hacking tips to help you thrive in your career. So subscribe if this sounds like you. So let me tell you a story. One time I was, working on a huge project with some senior stakeholders. And I gathered all the senior stakeholders to kind of have that initial kickoff session to say, this is what we're looking to deliver as a project. This is what we're aiming to accomplish and achieve. And there was one key, very key stakeholder in that group. And, let's call her Sarah. And Sarah was that person that, has high influence, high power on the stakeholder map grid. And because of that, I kind of thought, yeah, I really need to ensure that I understand her requirements and the requirements from her team. So I set up a session with Sarah afterwards. And, I said, Sarah, it was lovely to meet you in that meeting. But I, just want to have a chat around the requirements specifically in your department, in your area, to really understand what you're, hoping that this project will deliver, but the kinds of problems that you're really wanting to solve for the benefits that you're looking to accomplish from this project. We had that discussion and I thought all was well and it was really great. But after that, I was, analyzing my notes and I kind of realized I still have gaps. Like I'm still not 100% clear on a couple of things. So I set up a second session with Sarah. In that session, again, me and Sarah, we had a chat, we sat down, we spoke to each other, understood her requirements. I'm asking her questions and clarifying questions and all the rest of it. Come out of that second session with a similar mindset. I'm like, you know what? I'm not fully understanding like the main meat of the requirements. For instance, there'll be a requirement, but I'm reading it, I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, okay, that sounds good, but it's very solution kind of thinking. I'm not understanding what the actual problem that it's trying to solve is, or it might be that I get the problem, but I don't understand why that problem, so what is the multitude of that problem? What size is that problem? That sort of thing. So I set up a third session with Sarah. Now bear in mind, this is a senior leader we're talking about here. And quite rightly so, Sarah kind of snapped back at me and said, listen, I don't have time to be talking to you back and forth all the time. Like, what is this? What's going on? I've told you my requirements, right? We've had a couple of sessions now, and like I feel like you have more than enough to go ahead with the project and deliver something that is fit for purpose. And despite my hesitation, I kind of realized in that moment the power of asking the right questions. Because when we don't, we kind of think, oh yeah, all these stakeholders are kind of always going to be available in the project. But actually, the reality is they've got day jobs, they've got other commitments that they're doing, and so the conversation that they're having with us, albeit they are committed stakeholders, they are in favor of the project and they want to see this project succeed. They don't have the kind of time to be having conversation after conversation, meeting after meeting after meeting. And so you kind of have to really be prepared. And that's really what this discussion is about. This discussion for me is about like being very clear on, what, as business analysts, we need to be very intentional about asking the right questions that will lead to you eliciting the right requirements from your stakeholders. And by planning that, if I had planned it, I'll be honest, looking back now, if I had planned that whole scenario very well, I probably could have done it in that one session, as opposed to stretching it out into three sessions, right? And so I want to help you. Maybe you've kind of made the mistakes that I've done in the past. And don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect, but I've learned a thing or two about asking the right questions. And so today I'm going to share with you five questions that you should ask or ensure to ask during your requirement elicitation phase as a business analyst to ensure that you are getting the right requirements at the right time and not, I guess, avoiding wasting people's time. And so for me, the first question that you should ask is the question why? Surprise, surprise, right? I'm sure you've heard of the five why techniques. You ask why five times to understand the root cause of the problem. Now, as much as I agree with the spirit of that technique, I don't think that you should necessarily ask the question why. But you definitely need to understand what is the thing that you're trying to accomplish, what is the problem you're trying to solve, what is the benefit you're trying to materialize by delivering this requirement. And some things are kind of, they sound good until you ask that question, or until you kind of ask that question of, what exactly are you trying to accomplish here? And I think understanding that is key. Now, if you're doing user stories, that's already in the format, right? You got as a I want, so that, and I saw that piece is the bit that tells you the why. And it's the same thing with requirement statements. If you kind of got the requirement, then you got the rationale bit where you put the rationale for that requirement. And I think this is something that can easily be overlooked as like, oh, we don't really need to write the rationale or the so that bit. We clear on the actual feature, the functionality. We're very clear on what it is that I want. But actually, I think you should endeavor to ensure that the so that or the requirements rationale is filled in, because that, especially when it comes to prioritization and when it comes to kind of you thinking about what it, what an MVP would look like, or when it comes to prioritizing the backlog, or even when it comes to just you as a business analyst being very clear on what the problem you're looking to solve is, that's where the meat of the requirement is for me. That's where you will get like, okay, this is what the requirement is actually trying to accomplish and achieve. So that's the first question. Again, you don't have to necessarily ask why, but there's ways you can kind of go around that and try to be like, okay, I understand what you're saying. Can you maybe elaborate a bit more of what that would lead to and all the rest of it? But the first one, why? The second question I want you to ask is for who? For whom? Who is this thing actually for? Who is the people or the person that have this problem? Who are the people that are crying out for this requirement to be, to be solved? I've worked on projects where like you get requirements from a senior leader, like for example, Sarah, and Sarah will kind of say, yeah, we want this to be delivered, we want that to be in place. But actually what then ends up happening is I speak to the people on the ground, the tactical and operational teams, and they turn around and say, well, it's not really that big of a deal. It's not really that much of a problem. It's not really that kind of thing that we feel should be focused on. Even if you delivered something, it doesn't really solve the issue, because the issue actually is this other thing over here. But if you don't know whom, the requirement that you've got is like, okay, I get it, you're saying you want this, but who is it that's wanting that? And I guess again, is it on the user stories, easy it would have been easy for me as a user story to put like, for Sarah's case, she was a senior leader. I could have put it very easily something like, as the HR director, I want da, 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 da. And I'm like, yeah, great. And the source of that requirement is Sarah. But actually, that requirement doesn't solve Sarah's problem. See what I mean? It serves another team's problem, another person's problem. And that's what this question is trying to really undertake and draw the line between this requirement is specifically for these people over here. And it's the same thing even with user groups. If you're building software and then you're saying, right, this requirement is for this specific user group, it's very key to be very, very clear about whom is this for. As I said, this impacts many things. But this is the second reason why I think you should, the second question that I think you should ask. The third question I want you to ask is actually inspired by the sponsor of today's discussion. Today's discussion is sponsored by Bridging the Gap. Bridging the Gap provides online training and certification to new and aspiring and existing and practicing business analysts. Bridging the Gap have a free resource called the Free Requirement Checklist, and that's where I got this question from. Now, you can download that free requirement checklist yourself by clicking the link in the description in the show notes of this episode, or going to insidebusinessanalysis.com/check. That will take you straight to the page where you can fill in your details and get that free requirements checklist straight to your inbox, so that you have a plethora of questions to ask during your requirement elicitation techniques. And one of those questions is question number three. So question number three is, what exactly is not in scope? And you're trying to find this out, right? You're trying to find out who is this not for? Who is excluded from this deliverable? What teams are not going to be part of this, or what user groups are not going to be involved in this, or what piece of data or piece of functionality are we not looking at? And it's very critical. And I think this is actually quite key. Now, if you're like me, you're probably a little bit of the optimistic business analyst, right? They kind of think, yeah, we can do everything. Like, let's just ask the stakeholders what they want, and I can make sure that, we analyze everything and we see what we can deliver for them and all the rest of it. But actually, you need to be very clear on, yeah, we're not doing that for that, right? It's kind of that scoping question. And this is very key to know up front, because as you're gathering the requirements, you might think to yourself, okay, this requirement is for everybody, but actually you may realize that No, this is only for a certain user group. So, an example, let's just say you're looking at a requirement for a banking application, and then you realize that that requirement is specifically for people who have a premier bank account, right? It's not for everybody. It's for only for people with this higher tiered bank account. And but then you may even specify that even further and say it's only for new premier bank account holders. You see what I mean? So it's being very clear, like, okay, this is great. It's a piece of feature functionality, but it's not for them. That will greatly help you to then understand the scope of the work. So that's the third question. Again, inspired by Bridging the Gap, download the free checklist. The fourth question that I would encourage you to ask is, how often does this thing happen, or how often does this problem occur, or how big of an issue really is it? And this is actually very powerful because I can't even tell you, I've spent many, many times eliciting requirements, analyzing processes, and kind of having so many discussions with so many stakeholder groups to only find out that the thing that we're talking about only applies to like 5% of the user group, or only happens once every year. So it's like, oh my goodness, I've spent like 3 weeks speaking about this issue from stakeholders, and everyone I speak to is like, yeah, it's a big problem, it's a big problem. Then when you really dig deep, it's like, oh, okay, it's a big problem that only happens 5% of the time, or it's a big problem that only happens once a year, and it's not even guaranteed. It's like an if that then it will happen. And so it's you need to be very clear, right? How often, if it's a problem, you're looking at how often does this occur, or if you're kind of looking at the benefit side of things, that you're saying, yeah, we want the solution to be able to do this, is kind of being like, okay, how frequently would you like that to happen? Because you don't want to, again, this will help actually in the prioritization phase. Because when you're now kind of prioritizing the backlog and you're looking at that MVP scenario, you're able to then say, right, this thing over here, although it's a good thing to solve, it will only solve a very small, solve a problem for a very small group of people. You know what I mean? And so that for me would then help to be like, okay, that probably isn't something we should focus on, considering we've got these other requirements on the line, which will solve a problem for pretty much almost every user. So that's the fourth question. And the final question I've got that you should ask in every meeting, to be honest with you, is, have I understood you right? Have I understood this right? Have I got it right? This is almost a clarifying question. Effectively, what you're doing here is you're validating your understanding with the end user or with the stakeholder that you've been working with. And you're doing so in real time. So you're literally summarizing everything you've just spoken about, and then you're finishing it off with the question of, have I understood you correctly? Have I understood that right? Have I got it right? Have I got the main message of what you are telling me? This is so powerful because, again, it's real-time validation of your understanding. It's real-time verification of that. But also, that stakeholder then actually gets more confidence that you understand their problem, and they become more confident that they can trust that the way that you will help the project and deliver the outcomes, you already know at the back of your mind somewhere that, yeah, you understand their problem. They feel like they can trust that you can effectively be the voice of the customer, which is part of the role as business analyst. And this is key, particularly building trust with your stakeholders. So that's the fifth question I'll say, have I understood you right? And so those are the five questions that I think you should ask. And being, again, going back to being intentional about asking questions during your requirements elicitation is super, super important. I can't even stress that enough. It will go a long way to making sure that you will succeed as a business analyst, eliciting requirements, managing those requirements, and delivering those requirements. Download the free requirements checklist by clicking the link below. Now, asking the right questions is obviously super, super important, but there's so much more to requirements management than this. So I would actually encourage you to scroll back a couple of episodes on this podcast and check out the podcast with a guest that's called Mastering Requirements. On that discussion, we literally dived deep into the full life cycle of how, as business analysts, we can successfully manage requirements. We'll see you on the next one.